Featured guest today says the European Central Bank is at risk of failing, which could send interest rates soaring, outlines contingency plans for investors to shield their portfolios. Martin Armstrong, author of The Greatest Bull Market in History, Economic Confidence Model, and founder of Princeton Economics. Welcome back, Martin Armstrong.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Tons of articles on this. Oh, it's reflecting there's a recession coming, etc. You know, this is the problem when people only look at things domestically. You have to understand what's happening internationally. I mean, you've got gold crashing today, you got the euro crashing today, the dollar going up. What is going on? Why is this, you know, people don't realize. I mean, I've spoke to three, you know, dealing desks today. There is such a bid for the dollar. Everybody's trying to buy 90-day paper. There's nothing available left, period. There's no offers. Why? Because what's happening is, you just look at Turkey. You know, he basically, the central bank, they're shut down everybody yesterday. And so when people start selling, so what did they do? Oh, well, they put in capital controls. They shut down the repo market. So they trapped investors. So the stock market there starts crashing, etc. And then this sends concerns rippling through the marketplace everywhere. They did, well, what if Brazil does this? You're looking at capital controls. This is why the yield curve has gone ballistic just right now. And it's this, no, you know, nobody wants to sell U.S. paper. They're just, everybody's holding on to it. We have a profound financial crisis that's just sitting here on the edge. And people don't understand what's happening here. The European banks, because you've had all this quantitative easing for 10 years and negative interest rates, the banks don't want to pay negative interest rates, just parking money at the ECB. So they have lent money tremendously into real estate to get some sort of yield. Then, particularly the Spanish banks, more than anybody, they've been buying Turkish debt because the theory is that, oh, well, the IMF will bail out anybody, so there's really no risk. And it's just not true. So they have all this emerging market debt. And then three, to avoid the negative interest rates at the ECB, they've been lending to each other. So there is nothing but a huge liquidity crisis. And by May, they're going to have to, you know, deal with reporting this Basel III stuff with capitalization. If they don't have liquidity, we're looking at a European banking crisis developing, and I've been warning about this, that this is serious. And it's like the perfect storm that is coming together here. And why do we, are there banking crises that develop? It's a liquidity crisis, because they're lending money on real estate, so that's longer term. They can't call in those loans, so if somebody wants to withdraw money from the bank, they can't get their hands on it to give it to the depositor. Then you have this emerging market debt. So they all ran into there to get the higher yield, and now you have countries like Turkey putting into capital control, and you can't get the money out. So, and then they've all lent money to each other, and they're all in trouble. So where does the money come from? And this is why you have the euro crashing. It's complete chaos going on out here. Really, it's chaos.
Do you suppose that part of this is the change in the central bankers' forward guidance? I mean, the Fed has just, you know, obviously announced the end of its rate, you know, hiking cycle, and now the EU and many of their colleagues are talking about higher rates. Is that the wrench that's been thrown into the works that has everyone upset?
Well, the Fed, I can tell you, because, I mean, I've been in quite a few meetings, and there is a concern that now they're beginning to realize that. And the topic has been, okay, fine, how do we prevent the dollar from being the reserve currency? Because what's happened is the Fed was raising interest rates. Then you had the IMF, ECB, everybody else saying, please don't do that. You raise interest rates and it hurts us. So then the Fed is like, yeah, but we have to worry about our domestic economy. You know, we shouldn't be worrying about you. And so they get all this lobbying in here, and then the Fed basically has to back off, because if it keeps moving interest rates higher domestically, where our economy is doing better, then, you know, they cause a crisis elsewhere. And it's just, so it's, everything's so connected. And effectively, the central banks have lost control. This is really the bottom line. I mean, this idea that the central bank can, you know, guide us through the economy nice and smooth, etc. It's just a fallacy.
Isn't that what the hard money folks have been looking for maybe four decades or so? That sort of sea change moment where the chaotic system, the tipping point, is reached and there's no return?
That's more or less like the German austerity problem. And it's not the quantity of money. This is the whole problem. They get their ideas from something that's a little bit different. So it becomes, you know, the chicken or the egg question. German hyperinflation, by no way, shape, or form, did it take place because they simply printed more money. They printed more money as a result of, okay, not the cause. What happened was, there was, which everybody ignores, you know, Germany overthrew its government. They then had a communist revolution in 1918, 1 year after the Russian Revolution, and that's the Weimar Republic. And they were even asking Russians to please come in and take over their country. They wanted to join this new communist idea. So anybody who had money hoards it. Okay, so there was no cash in the banks. The government, the Weimar Republic, they defaulted on the debts of the previous government. So they couldn't sell any bonds. So, again, you end up with kind of a perfect storm. Nobody's going to lend the money. They ended up defaulting on the reparation payments, and they had no bond market. And anybody, you know, with half a brain withdrew the money from banks. So that's why you had the hyperinflation. So it's not the hyperinflation first and then causes all the problems. The hyperinflation was the result of all these other problems.
Well, what do you say, Martin Armstrong, to folks who say, you know, today is such a globally connected economic environment that there's too many valves and avenues and stops for the big money, the smart money, the capital, to flow to safe havens? Is that really just an Achilles heel that makes us more open to systemic risk?
Capital has always flowed internationally. I mean, even back in ancient Roman times, you'll find Cicero talking about, you know, when there was a panic about something in Turkey, that was the emerging market then, and sent a panic down the Via Sancta, which was basically the Wall Street of ancient Rome. You have, Grover Cleveland in the panic of 1893. Great speech. I mean, you'll see it on our web. I quote him often. He stands up and he says, look, he says, capital can flee. They can always move their money someplace else. But labor cannot take its labor and export it and put it someplace safe. So the person who always gets hurt the most is the average person. And this is so true. I mean, you have even the governor of New York coming out, so we can't raise taxes anymore. All the rich are leaving. Absolutely. I mean, this is what happens, you know. And if it's going to, well, we're going to charge you 50% here, but wait a minute, if I walk across the street and I go to, you know, across the river to New Jersey, I only pay 25. I think I'll move. You know, this is what's happening. New York used to be the biggest port. There's no port there in New York. You know, I'll move to Philadelphia, then Virginia, because of taxes. So it is connected domestically as well as internationally. And you can't just simply raise taxes all the time, because people do move, and they will definitely move because of it. We are connected, so the global thing has always been around for ages. I mean, today it's a little bit more faster than it was before. I mean, you actually had to take gold and put it on a ship and actually move it from London to New York, etc. So today you can do it instantaneously. So the timing of it is shorter. But the whole problem has been under really this idea that began socialism began with Marx. And his whole proposition, which all the other economists have followed, including Keynes, etc., is that government has the power to actually change the economy and do whatever it wants. And that was proven to be completely false because, I mean, communism collapsed. Keynes basically did the same thing. Well, we can, you know, manipulate demand and with interest rates. We raise interest rates, people will not be able to afford to borrow, and we lower them, they'll come back. But he misinterpreted the whole thing as well, and even before he died, he even told somebody, he spent his whole life fighting against Adam Smith's invisible hand, and he says he was wrong, and he hoped that Smith's invisible hand would save Britain. You're going against human nature, and that's the problem. So we tend to look at these things and not quite fully understand, but governments have done nothing but propaganda. I mean, all your pension funds are really, you know, behind the eight ball here. I mean, Social Security, you even take the Obamacare that he put in, the same scheme. Oh, we'll punish youth for not buying insurance when they don't need it. And the insurance companies will get a lot more premium from people they don't have to pay claims to. And therefore, with that more money in the pot, they'll lower the premiums for the people that need it. Well, the insurance companies just pocketed it. It didn't work. You're always trying to steal from one group to give it to another. And that's what just doesn't work. I mean, Social Security is basically kind of collapsing too. Because of that same scheme. It's predicated upon population always increasing. Well, population is declining now. Girls don't want to have, you know, babies, etc. I mean, if they do get married and they have less than two children, all right, that's a contraction in the population. So that means you're going to have less workers in the future to pay for the previous generation. So Social Security fails. They never put the money away to begin with. Government pensions, the same thing. They didn't contribute to them. Most of them, okay, work for us and you'll get a pension for life. But they never contributed to it. So this is just taxes. This is why Illinois is going down. California's in such trouble. These are always schemes that politicians come up with. And they sound nice, and it's vote for me, and I'll give you whatever you want. And it will not be sustainable long term.
You know, we look at Orange County, right? Isn't that the casebook, one of the casebook examples now? Memphis, Detroit. I mean, these are sadly, truly sadly, because of the humanity and the socioeconomic costs associated with. However, it sounds like they could be warning shots.
Well, I mean, we published recently, within the last couple of weeks, with the new Gallup poll, which showed that 35% of Americans think the number one problem is government. Typically, when you reach around 45% plus, that's when you start getting into the revolutionary cycle. Even if during the American Revolution, it didn't really cross that 45% mark until Thomas Paine, you know, put out Common Sense. There were people, well, I don't want change. Yeah, okay, fine. And then when he put out his piece on Common Sense, and it is still very common. He basically starts it and says the problem with government is they think they are the sovereign rather than the people. You can see that with Snowden, okay? Snowden basically discovers the government is doing something illegal. He exposes it, okay? Well, he's a traitor. Well, who's he a traitor to? Is it the people, or is it he's ratting on the government? You know, and so it's the government calls treason telling the people the truth that makes them look bad. Isn't the people supposed to be the sovereign? And this is what Thomas Paine explained, and people start looking at it and go, you know, he's right. This is, we're the government. We are the sovereign nation, not the government. So when you reach that point, you're beginning to see it in France with the Yellow Vest movement, etc. They have the highest tax rate in Europe. And they keep raising taxes and taxes and taxes. And, you know, it's the bottom line is, what are people left with for themselves? I mean, yes, it's nice. You can say, oh, we're going to tax the rich. Or does it ever lower anybody else's taxes? No. All it ever does is put more money in their pockets. That's it. Nobody else benefits ever from any sort of proposed tax increase. So it's just really nonsense, and the cost of government has risen so dramatically because they're offering, you know, constantly promising themselves all kinds of pensions, etc. I mean, I moved to Florida. My lawyer, you know, was maybe a joke, but it was the truth. He says, look, if you die here in New Jersey, tell your family to drag your body across the river before they tell anybody because of the taxes.
Our officials are keenly apt, you might say, at keeping this house of cards from imploding, you know, keeping the music going. Because we've just heard for decades, you know, how financial and economic Armageddon is just around the corner. Even 2008, 2009, I mean, think of all the people who ignored equities to buy and hold discounted U.S. equities. But everyone was terrified of U.S. equities at that time. You probably have a good prediction on when and what might bring this whole thing down.
Well, it's starting. Like that poll showing 35% of the American people think the government is the number one problem. Not global warming, not all this other kind of crazy stuff. Government. So that is showing what I'm talking about. I mean, historically, people are constantly fighting always the last war. So they think, oh, 08, 09, oh, you know, and they're selling the stock market. Who's in trouble here? All right, just ask yourself. I mean, sometimes it's government, sometimes it's the private sector. Okay, yes, in 29, we had government was not the big brother, per se, and the problem was on the private sector side. This time, the problem is on the government side. And so it depends where you go, who's in trouble. I mean, I have to laugh. People say, oh, the stock market's going to crash and all this stuff. Okay, well, where's the money going to go? You're going to buy government bonds, which everybody is questioning whether or not they're going to be able to pay? And they just look at you with a dumb look. It's like, this time it's a different problem. You know, it flips back and forth historically. I mean, sometimes it's the government, then it's the private sector. There was a major sovereign debt crisis in the 1840s, but that time it was the state, not the feds. It changes, but you have to look at this. It's not always the same thing all the time. So the crisis that we're getting into, it looks as though it's starting to pop now, and I would say probably from 2020 on, you're going to start seeing it a lot more. Craziness. I mean, but even look at, you know, why did Trump get elected? He beat 17 career politicians. People didn't vote for him because they thought he was the Messiah or the greatest person in history. No, they voted really for him because they were voting against everybody else. And, you know, they don't, it's how you twist it. You take this girl in New York, you know, they call her AOC, okay? And they go, oh, well, they voted for her because they really wanted this new Green Deal and higher taxes, that this is what the people wanted. No, they voted for her for the same reason. They got rid of a Democrat they didn't like who was there for some 30 years or whatever. You see the same thing in Mexico. They overthrew the government there, put in their kind of version of Trump. You see the same thing in Malaysia, France, Italy. I mean, look at Britain with Brexit. I mean, this is a global trend. It is people are getting fed up everywhere with whoever's in government. Okay, it's not a left or right issue. It's because you just look at every country and it's whoever's ever there, just throw the bombs out. So that's the rising tide that is in that Gallup poll. You know, 35% of the people said the government's the number one problem. You're going to see a lot more civil unrest in the U.S. when we get closer to the 2020 election. Because honestly, at this stage in the game, the house of cards is falling. Look at what they did to Kavanaugh. You know, if you're going to bring up what happened when you were in high school or, you know, in college, most people can't even remember. And it was really disgusting to watch what they tried to do to him. And that sets the new standard. So then what happens is exactly what followed. Okay, they went after the, you know, Democrats in Virginia. Oh, now there's nothing off the table anymore. The damage of that is that who's going to run? Honestly, I feel Trump is probably the best guy for the job because he's got such thick skin, nobody can hurt him. Who's going to be able to take that many arrows after Trump? Left or right? I mean, I don't really care if you're talking about Democrat or Republican. I mean, it's such a degree, you have to have an ironclad skin to just be able to stand up anymore. I don't know who's going to come after him. I mean, it's like, I'm very concerned about that because I don't think the people are going to accept just another career politician who's just going to lie to them all the time. And so what does that give us?
Your Forecaster film did quite well, and I'd be remiss if I didn't inquire into any further projects. I know you've had some on the drawing board for a while.
Yeah, no, they are doing a Hollywood movie. They're turning into a Hollywood movie. They want to do another one of the Forecaster, but from concerning Europe and everything else and dealing with it from that perspective. So, but it's just an example of how corrupt the system has become. And it's just really ridiculous. When that film debuted in Amsterdam, the third night we had all the bankers from, you know, all over Europe. You know, and the moderator wanted to pretend he was, like, you know, unbiased. But he says, oh, so did you ever, you know, whatever happened to the $1 billion? You got to keep it? You know, what? And I said, why don't we just ask the audience? I said, is it possible for $1 billion to be missing from a bank and nobody knows where it is? The whole audience starts laughing. I said, you either write a check, you wire it out, or you beam it out like Star Trek.
All right, well, take care. Thank you for inviting me.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses VaultChain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by TradeWind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals, distributed ledger, and blockchain technology. VaultChain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. VaultChain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold. GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.